We are here in the studio today, Wednesday. Matt, you promised me it's going to get warmer, right?
They're working on it.
Okay. All right.
Mid-70s this weekend.
Okay. I'm keeping that in mind. It's still a little nippy. When I'm coming out of my house in the morning, I hate to think I'm a princess, but there might be some evidence for that. We're going to kind of change gears here a little bit today. And I don't know, a lot of people know this, but my dad was named Frank. And so when anybody, I meet another Frank, I always love to just kind of have that friendship. And I over the years, have met a lot of guys named Frank. And one of the gentlemen that we're going to talk to today is Frank Torchia, who was born and raised on Long Island in Rockville Center, New York. He's the only child of a proud Italian-American family, and my dad, all Italian. My grandfather immigrated here from Italy. And after playing football in college, Frank married and had two daughters, Nicole and Amber, and he ran a college recruiting business where he helped high school athletes obtain athletic scholarship. And Frank moved to Arizona. Him and his wife got divorced. And unfortunately, shortly after his divorce, his youngest daughter, Amber, just got into the wrong crowd and started using drugs at the age of only 14. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today, because we have a drug problem in Arizona. And Frank has written a book. It's just being released. But he's done amazing work. He's been a TV producer and he's produced movies, and he did a movie about Make-A-Wish Foundation. I'll let him tell us about that. But Frank Torchia, welcome to Win Tucson this morning, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Kathleen. Nice to join you as well. So you got a harem of Franks in your world, huh?
I do, and it's even on my license plate, and so it says Frank 1 on my license plate, and it's a Marine Corps license plate. My dad served in the U.S. Marines. I proudly have that plate. That plate, ironically, contributes to college scholarships for children of U.S. Marines, so kind of in line with some of the work that you've done. And I come also from a proud Italian-American family. My mom is Irish, but we didn't talk much about that. We always talked about the Italian side. I know I was born in New York, so you and I have a lot in common. I think you still have your accent. I got out before I could develop one. I think I left New York before I was speaking. But anyway, you have tell me about what caused you to the story here, because there's you have Amber's story, and you went on a journey to recover your daughter, to help her, and I think that's what this new book is that's come out, correct?
It is. The book is called Love Letters to Amber. Mm-hmm. And yes, at 14 years old, shortly after my divorce, unfortunately my daughter got in with the wrong crowd and started using drugs, and it was my older daughter, Nicole. And I just thought it was just a rambunctious teenager. I never did drugs as a kid. So, she would sneak out the window. So what I would do is I would hammer the window shut so she couldn't get out. And then she would leave the garage. And then my older daughter was driving. And I would yell at her, "You left the garage door open again." She goes, "I did not. I watched it close." And Amber was sneaking out the garage door. And then I'd put an alarm system in. And then she would, MacGyver the alarm so it wouldn't go off to sneak out. And finally, my older daughter told me about Amber's drug use, and that saved my daughter's life. So her older sister, Nicole, saved her younger sister's life by telling me. And we found an organization called Teen Challenge.
Yes.
Teen Challenge, a national faith-based organization that helps teens struggling with addiction. And what I liked about it, as I now know way too much about this than I should, but Teen Challenge does not use drugs to get teens off of drugs, which was really important to me. I didn't want to put drugs in my kids' system. And so we did that. And so we went down to Tucson. We met with the team before we brought Amber and made the decision that's where she was going to go. It's actually down in Tucson. So Springboard is part of the Teen Challenge network.
Correct.
And we told Amber, and she obviously a little frustrated, and we said yes, and we brought her down there, and every day she was there for 90 days, I wrote her a love letter.
Mm.
You're beautiful. You're strong. God's not done with you yet. You can do this. I can't wait to see you. You're loved. And that was the impetus of helping tell this story. And we started with the title, Love Letters to Amber. And we still have the love letters. There are actually some of the love letters are in the book as well. And when we put the book together, we actually had Amber and Nicole tell their side of the story as well. So a lot of the book is in Amber's voice. You know, I don't know if you ever watched someone make a bad decision. You're like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You just want to hear in their head, why would you make that crazy, stupid decision?
You know,
and so Amber's trying to explain these series of mistakes that she made.
Well, you know, and I have 5 daughters and 10 granddaughters, actually, and little girls are emotional. And at 14, it's emotions times 10 because they're still little girls, but yet they're trying to become women and their brains aren't fully formed. And so much about what they do is for acceptance, for friendship, even if it's bad friends. So it is not surprising to me. So when she went to Teen Challenge, was she still 14 or was she 15 at that point?
She was 15. So yeah, I thought it was November, early December is when when Nicole told me, and it was, I think February, I don't know the exact date, but February was the time when we drove down there. And it was interesting. So we've been on a couple of, I do TV and film.
Yes.
And we did a TV show a few years back called In Crisis, Getting Through the Storms of Life. And whatever we go through in life, it's just a moment in time. And some moments are crazier than others, but it's just a moment, right? It's just, you know, you just got to work on trying to get through that moment in time. And so we had went down, Amber and I were in a segment in this show that we did. And we actually went down to Tucson to springboard. That was the first time that we'd both been there since her recovery. This was like 3-4 years ago, so it was like 8 years or so. And it was really emotional to have her walk through the place that basically saved her life, and it was emotional for me. And we actually had a conversation afterwards where she told me when I dropped her off and I was driving away, bawling my eyes out in the car, by the way, as I dropped my daughter off.
Yes.
And she felt like I abandoned her. My dad doesn't love you. Didn't love me. You were
right.
Just dropping me off to get rid of me. That was what she was going through at the time. And I told her, I said, I was feeling the same way. I felt like I was abandoning you. Did I do enough? Can I just do it? But we both, hugged it out and realized, no, this was the best course for you at the time, because I didn't have the tools, the skill sets to handle this.
Hey, Frank.
And it was just interesting. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
I can be whoever. I just need to take a short break. And we come back, I want to pick up the story right here, because what you're talking about is so important for parents to hear. So we are talking to Frank Torchia, and he's telling his story of the recovery of his daughter, Amber. We will be back right after this. You're listening to Win Tucson in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to Win Tucson on this Wednesday. We're talking to Frank Torchia, who went on a journey that no parent wants to go on when he discovered his daughter was using drugs. I'm going to say probably addicted to drugs. And had to, was lucky enough to be able to save her because a lot of parents whose children use drugs don't get that opportunity. So Frank, welcome back. And when we went on the break, you were saying that you were crying probably as hard as, if not harder, when you dropped off your daughter for treatment here in Tucson. And so explain how that was for you and how it was for your daughter, Amber.
Yeah, as we were talking when we went down there where we were filming the segment of the show that we did in Crisis. She had shared that she felt at the time, years later, that I didn't want her and I was just dropping her off. And was obviously, it was really emotional for her. And then I shared the story, the same feelings that I felt like I was abandoning it. Did I do enough? And as I sat and cried in my truck, as I drove home, dropping my daughter off, hoping that they would save her. And thank God they did. Interesting, I was, so I shared the story openly today. Obviously, I wrote the book, Love Letters to Amber, and mm-hmm. which you can get at loveletterstoamber.org. You were saying most parents don't, unfortunately, don't get to save their child. Most parents end up burying their kid. And I am unbelievably a blessed parent because my daughter is still here. And while she was going through the addiction, even during the recovery, I never shared anything because I felt guilty, embarrassed, and ashamed. And most addicts feel helpless, hopeless, and alone. And so they don't share it either. And so those are emotions that could actually lead to not a very good outcome. And so today, both my daughter and I, we share our story jointly, and she's open about it. Like I said, she helped with the input in the book and some of the things that she went through, and trying to describe it from a teenager's perspective.
Which is so great.
Yeah, and then I obviously, me as the dad, and then my dad. So we had three generations living under the same house. So my dad is dealing with this as well. And then it was another interesting side note on the book. So my older daughter, Nicole, she was the year this was all happening. She's about to graduate high school. Her grandfather's sick. I'm running a business, so I'm trying to make money to put food on the table, send my daughter to college. And her younger sister's going through addiction and rehab. And so a lot of times she felt...
She felt neglected too, yeah. So nobody was happy.
And
you're doing the best that you can as a single dad, raising two daughters and with these issues. So I give you a lot of credit. Keep going, Frank. I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. So it was 2 weeks ago. And I still, by the way, I do daddy-daughter date with my two daughters. They're 27 and 29. We go out once a month. I take them each out for either breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We do daddy-daughter date, which I was doing when they were very, very little. So for 25 years, I've been doing daddy-daughter date. I'll be doing it for the next 50 years until I'm not here. But I was with my daughter, my older daughter, Nicole, and it was just a conversation, and it was unprovoked. It was just, and I basically apologized to her. I said, you had to grow up so fast. And with everything going on, with me working and Papa, my dad, that's what my kids called him, sick, and Amber going through addiction. And she just started crying because it was weighing on her. And she goes, thank you so much for saying that. And it was just addiction affects everybody. So it's not just the person who's going through it, but the universe of the people in there. And like I said, I'm just a blessed man that my daughter's still here. She's a beautiful mom now. She's got two beautiful daughters. She made me a granddad. She's my makeup artist on my TV shows and films. She's a successful person. She's awesome. My older daughter is successful as well. She's a sommelier. She breeds French bulldogs. She's a real estate agent. And I couldn't be prouder of both my daughters. But I did want to put this book out because when you go through this, you feel very alone. And I wanted to make sure people understand that you're not alone, whether you're the parent, a sibling, or you're the one going through it. And then the other part of this is I'm a big letter writer. I'm an advocate of writing thank you letters to everybody. I teach my daughters that even when they were younger, if aunts and uncles from around the country sent presents, they would handwrite a thank you note. It's just something when someone takes the time to handwrite a note, not just a text message or an email. And so I actually, every day, for 90 days, I wrote a love letter to my daughter. I handwrote them. I thought about each word that I wanted to put in the note, in the letter. Some were longer than others. So I wanted to, also try to help inspire other people to write love letters. I think it's a lost art of writing and communicating. And this actually, like I said, it helped her on her journey. And it was something that she looked forward to when the letters showed up. And so it was, and we still kept them. She kept them.
So Frank,
and I kept her letters as well.
If someone wants to get a hold of this book, because it's just come out, where do they go to get a copy of this book?
You can go to www.loveletterstoamber.org. loveletters to amber.org, loveletterstoamber.org. There's also a little clip in the website of me and my daughter and hearing Amber, what she went through when we were down, it was the segment when we were down in Tucson. And so you get to hear from both me and Amber on a little bit of our journey. And yes, absolutely, order the book. I'm helping to sign the book. I'm helping to, you can email me through the website. I'm happy to have a conversation. Again, Teen Challenge saved my daughter's life. So please go to teenchallenge.org as well. If you need help, Teen Challenge in Arizona is a great organization. They also have the Adult Teen Challenge as well. So if you're struggling or if you know someone who's struggling, go get help. You're not alone. Don't feel helpless. Don't feel alone. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel ashamed. Just go get help. And that's my message on why I wrote the book. Yes. And I hope everyone picks it up and orders it and it impacts them. And if you need help, please reach out to me. Please reach out to Teen Challenge. Tell somebody that you're struggling, or if you know someone who's struggling, reach out to them and try to get them help.
So Frank, thank you. All of that is amazing. And I wanna just do a little bit deeper dive with you, if you don't mind. Do you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, because you've written this book and you did this to support your daughter, but you've also, you still go out and you speak to high school and college kids on the dangers of drug use. So this isn't just this one-time incident in your family, but you have taken this and used it to create a platform, I would say because you're grateful that you have your daughter, but so that you can help others save their children. Is that a fair assessment of what has happened?
It is. You know, my daughter has spoken as well. I've spoken at churches and high schools. I was a college recruiter, so we helped high school athletes get athletic scholarships. So I'm plugged into the community here in the state of Arizona. And I, you know, I get calls and requests, whether for podcasts, radio interviews, TV interviews, or to come speak on campuses. It is a passion of mine. I think a lot of kids feel forsaken. We got to, it's worse today. I used to say when my daughter first went through addiction in 2011, it was 12,000 to 14,000 young people were dying every year from a drug overdose.
Right.
5 years ago, it was 50,000 people were dying of a drug overdose. And I used to say it's like Vietnam every year, 9/11 every 3 weeks, 150 kids are dying every day.
Right.
Well, today it's over 100,000. 300 kids are dying every day from a drug overdose.
And it's not heroin anymore, it's fentanyl. And now we're hearing that there's going to be yet a new something to replace fentanyl, correct? Are you hearing
It's all these synthetic drugs. It's coming from overseas. It's coming through the southern border. The drug cartels are flooding the U.S. with these drugs. And then the social media networks like Snapchat, where the drug dealers are selling these fake pills. And literally 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids are dying every day, and no one's doing anything. And you hear parents crying, and they get upset. And no one's doing anything. And so I don't know what the answer is, but we definitely need to make a change and basically educate these kids that, you know, you're not getting what you think you're getting. And even if you're getting what you think you're getting, you shouldn't get it.
Right.
You know, there's you just don't know. And not that I'm an advocate for drugs, because I am not. I am against.
Right.
I'm not a cannabis guy. I believe marijuana is a gateway drug. There's some really big, good studies on that. But 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, when you smoked pot, you at least knew you were smoking pot. You weren't smoking fentanyl-laced pot. And this is what's killing our kids today.
Can I get you to hang on and stay on just one more segment with me? So I have some. Okay, great. We're talking to Frank Torchia. He has written a book about his daughter's addiction to drugs and how she recovered. And how we can help others. So this is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I'm your host, Kathleen Wynn, with my special guest today, Frank Torchia, who went through a parent's nightmare when he discovered that his daughter was abusing drugs, which she said was her only means of escape. There was a dynamic, as there is with many teenagers in a family, that Amber kind of decided this was the way to deal with whatever issues she was having at 14 years old. Frank, thank you for sticking with us. I think what you've learned as a parent is really beneficial to other parents. So if I can take you back and just in the moment when you're discovering your daughter has a problem, and obviously her own sister helps you in this discovery, but you as a family now have a new issue to deal with, not just emotional teenagers, but now you have a serious, significant problem that can cause death. And as you pointed out right before the break, the number of young people dying in our country as a result of connections to drug has gone up exponentially from the time that your daughter Amber, which was only 2011, we're talking, 12 years ago, so not a long time. The number of people dying in this country is it's worse than a pandemic. So can you go back, though, when you discovered, and help other parents maybe how you got to where you could get your daughter to treatment? I think that education is really important.
Yeah, it was definitely a journey, that's for sure. So, you know, I'm an Italian New Yorker, so you try to just control the situation. So, okay, I'm going to lock her in. She won't go out. I'm going to drive her to school. I'm going to pick her up. Her older sister, she couldn't really do anything. So when I went to work, she had to watch her sister to make sure she didn't go out.
And none of that worked. That was an epic fail, correct? That did not.
Oh my gosh, complete failure.
So being a helicopter parent and trying to follow your child everywhere they're going is not the solution to this problem.
No, it is. Again, I tried and, confrontation didn't work. Trying to control addiction is addiction. So they're just going to go try to find whatever it is they're going to do. And there's nothing you can do to stop them, you know, if you put them in a straitjacket and put them in a rubber room. But they're going to just find a way. And it was unbelievably emotional. But I go talk to someone. If that's when you find out, you need to go talk to someone, because this is out of your control and you need the help of people who've gone through this before. And I'll give you another example. When I was a Wall Street guy back in the 90s, and I learned how to lunch up. And so that's something that I talk about when I go speak. I talk about lunching up. And people say, well, what's lunching up?
Yeah.
Take someone out more successful than you in your industry and buy them lunch. Everyone loves a free lunch. So you can get information. The more information you can have and learn from people that went through what you're trying to go through. And it's the same scenario in this. You need to talk to people who went through what you went through. And not everything works the same. But you at least have some type of support, because it's emotionally takes a toll on your body, on your family, on your relationships. It is hard on everybody. It was hard on Amber. It was hard on Nicole. It was hard on my dad. It was hard on me. When we came out the other side. And so, like I said, I'm a blessed parent. Most parents bury their kids.
Right.
So if this book, Love Letters to Amber, can help save somebody, then it's worth it. You know, because what's the value of a life, right? You know, and so there's no value. If I had $1 billion, I'd give away $1 billion. I'd give away everything, because I still have my daughter, which now I have two granddaughters. So life is good today. Life wasn't so good 12 years ago. It was a challenge, and you don't know. Because of the storm, you know, if you're a believer, the epic storm and Noah's Ark and 40 days and the floods. But it's just so my grandma used to say, this too shall pass.
Yes.
But while you're in the storm, you can't see that there's sunshine.
You can't see
the wake.
The outcome. I when this was going on and you had no communication, I get it was in your nature to write letters, has she ever said the impact of those letters? Because I think when a parent takes time to communicate with a child, I think that they have a great impact on that child. I know as a daughter that things that my father said to me, I still can quote, you know, and he's been gone since 2012, so he's been gone 10 years. But the impact that a father has on a daughter, the role of fathers in families are so important. So did you and your daughter ever discuss the impact that your letters had while she was in rehab? Because she was pretty probably upset and abandoned or feeling abandoned. Did it?
Yeah, especially the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks, it was literally, you know, I wrote letters every day, but there was no communication. So she couldn't read, because you got to detox. You got to get the drugs out of the system. And again, what I liked about Teen Challenge, it was a drug-free rehab. And so the first 2 weeks was just trying to get them to get through getting clean. And then it's the recovery part. It's the thought process part. It's working through why you needed the drugs in the first place. And so those are, so we did talk about, you know, years later, not so much, you know, the high school years and graduating high school. It was, you know, right around the time when we did the show, the other show, and that the letters were encouraging. You know, she was looking forward to them. And if you think back to, you know, I'm 56 years old. When I was in college, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have social media. So we would write letters to our high school classmates that went to different colleges around the country. We'd have a P.O. box. We go in our lockbox, a P.O. box, yes, and see who wrote us that day. And I still have those letters as well. I'm an advocate of writing letters, that they actually take time to, in your own handwriting, to write something down. And we did talk about that. And she wrote me letters back. So that was the other thing on what she was going through, and the idea that, you know, she felt loved and she didn't feel abandoned, and that the letters helped her, you know, for the 90 days that she was there. That, you know, she knew she was going to come home, that I wasn't just going to drop her off. And those were really important.
Frank, if I'm a parent today and I suspect that my teenager is using drugs, what do I do?
Boy, take your child to lunch, take them for a cup of coffee, and have a conversation with them. And let them know that, you know, we'll get through this together. And there is hope, and, you know, you don't need to keep doing this. You know, when they're under 18, obviously there's more control that you have. Over 18, you mean they're, you know,
they're adults,
the
and they get
definition
to...
They're really not adults. Their brains aren't fully developed yet until, yes, like the science behind 24, 25.
25, so at 18, exactly.
They say, oh, I'm an adult, I get to do what I want. Yeah, but you're living in my house, you're not paying rent. I pay for your cell phone.
I'm feeding you.
Yeah, I'm feeding you. You're really not an adult.
I'm paying for that insurance on the car.
Yeah, I even had a conversation with when my daughters were in college, and I'm trying to get their grades, and they're like, "Well, you can't get their grades; they're adults." I'm like, "The hell, I'm not! I'm paying the bill. I'm paying for them to go to college." And well, they have to sign a letter. I said, "Well, then I need to, you know, you're taking my signed check. That should be just as good as a signed letter." So you have the conversation with them, but then also talk to whether it's your pastor, Teen Challenge. Not that, you know, I believe in them, but there's other faith-based organizations that are drug-free. I am an advocate of a drug-free rehab. I am not an advocate of putting kids on drugs to get them off drugs. I don't think that's the way to go. Their brains aren't fully developed at that age. Why would you put more chemicals in their body? And so I'm not an advocate of that. So talk to your kid, take them out to lunch, take them for a cup of coffee, and then go talk to someone who can give you the resources to get your kid help. And when they're older and they're over 18 or they're out of the house, boy, that's tough too. One of my best friends from high school, his son, 27, same age as my daughter Amber now, he just passed away right after Thanksgiving of a drug overdose. And it's heartbreaking. And it's just, I don't know the answer to everything. I just know if you know someone who's struggling, or if you're struggling, you need to get help. You are not alone.
We're not equipped. There's experts. We're not equipped as parents. But, you know,
no.
If your child had an injury, you wouldn't perform the surgery. So this is much like...
Google how to amputate a leg.
You
go to the doctor, right? Good analogy.
Yes, and so you have to get experts. And we as parents think we should be able to solve all of our children's problems and some, and that they should just take our good advice. However, when a child makes bad decisions, and teenage children exponentially make more bad decisions than any other group that we have. Well, maybe I'll come back on that. But I was thinking some middle-aged men right now. But that's okay. I'll set that aside for another day, another show. Different topic. But I think at the end of the day, we need to understand as parents that we don't have all the answers, and that what is so touching about your story and your daughter is just how you walked it out. And I really love your analogy about being in a storm, because this is every storm that is a parent's worst nightmare, whether it be missing children and children can get addicted to many different things. Primarily, children at this age want to be accepted. And they want their peers. Their peers, unfortunately, become the most important people in their lives. And if their peers are making bad decisions, unfortunately, that happens to our children. And so it's...
Yeah, social media is making it even worse. Having daughters, you had daughters, I got daughters. And one of the things that, and again, in retrospect, I wish I knew, but I didn't. My daughter was cutting. She would just because this, and girls, it's only girls. Boys do not cut. There is a unique difference between boys and girls. I don't care what anyone else has said. There's only two genders. There's a boy and there's a girl. That's it. And there's a uniqueness to girls when they're struggling that they will cut because they feel so much pain inside. They end up cutting themselves, and typically on their forearm.
Right.
Which I found out afterwards my daughter was doing. And, you know, it's like summer, it's 123 degrees, and she's wearing a sweatshirt because she didn't want to see.
She didn't want you to see that.
So if you notice your daughters, again, talking to parents of daughters only, guys, boys are different. Girls, if you see your daughters with any scars on her forearms, if you see them wearing sweatshirts during the summer, which is just not normal, roll up their sleeves, find out what's going on, because that is a good indication that something's not right. And you need to go talk to someone again. But that actually started before the drugs, because they feel so much pain inside. They don't know how to deal with it. And that's what girls do. So that is something in retrospect I wish I knew. I did not know. So when you asked, what do you do? Notice, you got to notice little things as a parent, especially today. You know, not that you want to be I was a hover parent. Yes, I did it. When my kids rode their bike to school, I would follow them in my car to make sure they got safe. I was overprotective. It doesn't always work, but I love my kids so much. I didn't want anything to happen to them. And
I saw a great, I saw a great picture yesterday, Frank. It was a front yard with a bunch of bikes thrown down on the front yard. And someone said, this is how we used to know in the old days where all the kids were hanging out, you know, before social media, because all the kids in the neighborhood would be together. You'd ride your bikes and you just throw your bikes down on whoever's front yard, whoever's house you were going to be at. And that's how we knew to find our kids. Now, we don't even know who's talking to our kids. There's so many people that are trying to get access to our children.
A lot of predators. There's a lot of predators using social media again. Snapchat. I am not a fan of Snapchat. I think it's a predatory app. I think Instagram is again going more for girls because of the imagery. I think they target the ads. I think it's evil.
Yeah.
I think it's intentional. When you intentionally target kids, I think you need to be shut down. It needs to go away.
So
we need to protect our kids.
We're going
to
take one last short break, and then I'm going to just finish out the show with you. I really appreciate your perspective and when we come back, we'll tell people one more time how they can get Love Letters for Amber. Talking to author, film producer Frank Torchia, on the recovery and saving of his daughter Amber from a drug addiction at age 14. We'll be back right after this. It's time to solve problems by speaking up and bringing solutions to everyday issues. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson, and I'm talking to Frank Torchia. So, Frank, thank you for taking your time this morning to share about your family and the book that you wrote and how you have not only healed your daughter, but healed your family and the relationship. I know that there's a lot of families that struggle, and when a child in a family gets addicted to drugs, it affects the whole family. And I have many parents, unfortunately, out there who their children are still out there. They're on the streets. They've attempted and failed to actually get their child off of drugs. And the addiction to the drugs is sometimes the most difficult and painful addiction to overcome. And they're always waiting to get that call that their child may have died. But I have several parents that have, their child hasn't, and tried to get them out, but everyone has not had the success that you've had. So I think it's important for people to understand to continue to, I love your idea about lunching up. It's like marrying up, right? So that you do better than you have. And I really like that idea about engaging with people who have gone through this. And we may have to bring you back down here to Tucson with Amber and have an event, because drugs is probably the number one issue that we have, not only in Arizona, but across the country. The impact of drugs in our families and on our children, it's a war. It is literally a war, because people that are trying to get access to our kids use drugs to get them addicted and to get them to do other nefarious things. So
it's true. There's
go right ahead.
So typically it starts with like a Percocet or Vicodin. And so again, I know way too much about this than I should, but
please share that.
So when Amber started, and you know, if you and I, we get our hurt back, we're in a car accident, the doctor prescribes some Oxycontin or Percocet, and we take one every 12 hours. Well, these kids and these drug dealers, they don't take the pills like you're supposed to.
Yes.
They smoke it. They put it in there and they smoke it. Apparently it's a different high. But then the drug dealers start charging these kids like $50, $75 a pill, and then they can't afford it. And the drug dealer will take out the little bag of H. Oh, just try this. And the teenager will go, oh, no, I don't do needles. Oh, no, you just smoke it like a Percocet. And that's what happens. And then there's these things called trap houses. And a trap house is where these drug dealers keep these teenage girls to abuse them and keep them high on drugs. And they're all over the country. They're down in Tucson. They're here in Phoenix. They are all over.
Yes.
And they're run by the cartels, and it's disgusting. And law enforcement knows about them, and they don't do anything. And it's sick, and it's disgusting. And I do want, you know, so there's a lot of parents out there, I gave my kid all the chances, and they just, there's nothing else I can do.
Correct.
Well, the Bible says is, how many times should we forgive somebody? And Jesus said 70 times 7. So will we forsake our kid? There's nothing on this planet that I won't do for my kid. I will not forsake my kid. I will travel to the ends of the earth. I will do everything in my power to help my child. Some people say, well, that's enabling them. No, we're trying to save them. I'm not enabling them as if I'm giving them drugs, enabling them if I'm dropping them off at a drug house. No, that's enabling. But I will do everything in my power as long as I'm still here with my very last breath to help my children, my grandchildren. And I will speak from the rooftops to tell everyone, if you need help, go get help. If you know someone that needs help, go get help. Go to Teen Challenge. Find Teen Challenge. They're in every major city across the country. They are down in Tucson. They are here in Phoenix. They have an adult version, adult Teen Challenge. It is an unbelievable organization. They will not forsake your kids. They will not forsake your friends. Go get help. And then if you want to read our story, mine and my daughter's story, it's called Love Letters to Amber, Love Letters to Amber. And you can find it at loveletterstoamber.org. You can watch the video of me and my daughter in the segment that we put up there as well. Support the book. Again, if you need to go get help, go to Teen Challenge. They are welcoming, they are encouraging, they are loving, they are supportive. And what I like about Teen Challenge, they separate the boys and girls. So you have an all-girls house in one area of town, and then you got an all-boys house in another area of town. It's a safe environment for the kids. It's a drug-free environment for the kids. They're not going to put your kids on drugs to get them off drugs. And they have a very, very good success rate. And I just encourage everyone to go get help if you need it. If you know someone who needs to get help, go get them help. And please, yes, go visit Love Letters to Amber, loveletterstoamber.org. Watch the video, share it with friends, order the book. I'll sign the book. You can email me through the website. I'm happy to communicate with you if you want to share your story with me. Great. If you want my daughter to talk to one of your kids, she's done that many times. Just email us through the website. And we will help get as many people help as we possibly can.
That's wonderful. And Amber is all grown up and is a mom. And
Amber's 20.
Go
yep,
ahead.
She's 27. She's a mom. She's got two beautiful daughters, 4 and 2, Millie mm-hmm. and Izzy. And she's got a great guy in her life. She's a homeowner. She's a successful person in the restaurant business. She's a makeup artist for my film and TV shows. She does it privately as well for weddings and private events. She's an amazing young woman and couldn't be prouder of her. Couldn't be more proud of my daughter, Nicole, who saved her younger sister's life by telling me, which was, a hard decision for her.
Right.
So, yes, I am blessed that I have two unbelievably strong, beautiful daughters that have grown up to be beautiful women and strong women.
It's the strong love of a good Italian family. That's what I'm gonna tell you that. And I know. So Frank Tortilla, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for sharing your story and continue to do the great work that you're doing. And I know we'll talk soon. This has been.
Thank you, Kathleen. Have a great day.
You do the same. God bless. This is Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. You've been listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Go out and make it a great day. And make sure you know where your kids are and who they're hanging out with. See you tomorrow.